meeting for July 2021. Just a reminder that our meeting is being recorded for audio recorded for placement on the web. And if you are remoting in with us, as you see us in this lovely room, if you're remoting in, please put your name and your title in chat so we can make sure that our attendance is accurate when we do the final recording of the meeting. So welcome everybody. It's lovely that the temperature has come down 40 degrees since this time last week. And our first item on our agenda is if we have any community input. Is there any community input?
No, I guess.
I'm not hearing any community input. I'm not seeing any movement towards community input.
Darla, did you have something?
I do. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying close enough attention. I just wanted to announce that Peace is starting a Sip Shop program that will be starting this month in July. And then starting in September, we're starting a self-advocacy program for our adults who want to do advocacy work with our legislators and other elected officials. We want to make sure that self-advocates' voice is heard at all levels of decision-making.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right. And so for those of you that just joined us, if there's any community input that can be provided at this point in time, I can't see what it says in chat.
Oh.
Yeah. Even if you put it up there, I probably still won't be able to read it. Okay. So at this point, I'm not seeing movement for any other community input.
I think that's just people putting their names
okay.
in their chat.
All right.
Yeah.
And so our first agenda item is our Job Foundations project update. And I believe, Kristen, you are going to give that to us.
Well, I did also want to talk a little bit before we move to that, too, about the future meetings format.
Oh, okay.
If I could give a little update about that. I added it under community input because I thought we could get some input, but also have a little bit of discussion about it, if that's okay.
Yes. Okay. So back up to our future meetings plan.
So, and this was kind of added at the, you know, last minute to, for us to be able to talk about it today. Late last week, we connected with the prosecuting attorney's office after the governor kind of officially said, hey, we're open for business again. No limits on gatherings and things. So, and if there's any questions about what the current guidelines are, there's plenty of information on Clark County Public Health website as well as Department of Health website. But what that specifically means for us, and the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board meetings is that, I am required to provide a physical location for every public meeting that we have, effective now. That's why we kind of hustled and got this room together. And thank you, Susan and Ted, for being here in person. And so even if the board would like to continue with this kind of hybrid model that we're doing now with some people virtually and some people in person, or even if everybody showed up to the meeting virtually, we'll still need to have this room available, which we will continue to do. So just wanted to have a little bit of discussion with the board, and if there's you want to take any input on that from our guests about the format going forward. If the meeting is here in the Center for Community Health, we will continue to need to wear masks just because this is considered a healthcare setting and masks are required here in our building. But that doesn't mean we couldn't see if there was another location. If we wanted to not be in a healthcare setting and not wear masks, that would be possible as well. If we wanted to go back to in person.
What options are there for that?
Oh, I mean, there's other county buildings. Sometimes we can get a room. We used to meet at the Public Service Center building. The issue with that is that then we had to pay for additional security to stay late on the nights that we had our public meetings. Here in this building, the security stays until 7 o'clock anyway. And this building is open just late open later than the other building. It closes at 5. But there may be other buildings that we could explore. We could see if they would be willing to host us or other locations in the county. We'd be happy to explore that if the board wanted to see about us doing that.
I would be happy to explore that. I know that me as a person with sensory processing disorder, wearing a mask is very difficult for long periods of time.
And sure. I prefer human, real uh-huh. human instead of screen human too, so.
Sure.
I would speak in favor of that. But we always should have, continue that too.
Sure. So, are there other thoughts or, I mean, because we certainly could continue to have a virtual option even if we looked into having a public, you know, in-person option as well. So, are there other thoughts about anybody feeling like we should just go to in-person or stay hybrid? Mona, you look like maybe you were going to say something.
waiting for a break. Yeah, okay. I really think it's way more accessible when you also have a virtual option for people who don't have transportation or for whatever reason. That's one thing I love about what we found through all of this with the virus is that, virtual means it's way more accessible to a lot of people. And so I think we ought to have both going forward.
I agree too. I mean, the simple fact that, you know, you throw out that transportation issue that comes up or the lateness as sometimes happens when you have to rely upon other forms of transportation. That's nice to have, but I would like to see, you know, people's faces. So that's the reason why I think another location, like what you said, Lindy, is a really good idea. That way we don't have to see Ted in a mask, which is scary enough, you know, would there be anything available, for example, at Innovative Services?
We could.
All right, I know that at this time we haven't opened it up to guests yet, but I mean, we're meeting quite often, so it could be, I could bring it up in our meeting. I think I have one in 2 days. With our executive team, so I could see about when we're starting to allow guests in. It's kind of been a slow process. We're trying to get all the employees in, you know, that have been working from home first. So that's kind of where we're at.
They're also a daycare center, and so masks are still required there. They have a therapeutic center and a daycare center, and so masks are still required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same thing would be with, like, trying to do a school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
sure.
They're still required.
Yeah. Well, and we can certainly look into other county buildings too. There's a number of spaces that might be available that wouldn't be considered healthcare settings for us. And, you know, I definitely appreciate what you're saying, Lindy, about the mask. Cause I don't think that you're the only person that would prefer not to wear a mask if we don't have to. So yeah. I appreciate you voicing that.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to hear what people are saying.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I think virtual presents a nice option too. Not necessarily this time of year, but in the wintertime when it's dark and rainy and miserable. Who wants to drive to a meeting?
Well, and I think I have kids, so I get home from work and I deal with my kids and my family and then go into a meeting. And not that it's super late, but it's just so much easier to log on to my computer and, you know, log on.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We need to keep the hybrid, but...
Yeah. Okay.
It's nice to have a physical.
Sure. Okay, so we will look in, staff can look into other locations to do have in-person, and we will be able to keep the hybrid. I mean, really all I've got here is a projector and my laptop. We may also look into some other technology options because I know that there can be challenges with hearing for the people online when there's people in the room. Mm-hmm. So we'll look into if there's anything else that we can do about that as well.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have any issues with, like, through county, using your county device in another facility that internet access or any of that stuff, that might have to be a challenge too.
Yeah, and so it might have to be a county building where I can log on to the county Wi-Fi. So we'll look into that. We'll investigate other in-person options.
All right. Any other thoughts on that topic before I move on again?
My only concern in doing that is because we also have to consider getting bumped out of certain conference rooms. If we are in our conference rooms, we're less likely to get bumped out, but we need to consider, if we try looking at different locations, the possibility that we can get bumped out of those conference rooms because we're not employees at that facility. We're county employees, but if you go to the elections buildings, there's a possibility they may bump you out. There's different locations where you may get bumped out. There's different locations where you may have problems with Wi-Fi. And at least in our building, we know that we have Wi-Fi accessibility. So there's different reasons too. It's one thing about the mask, but you may run into that at other facilities, and I understand that. But one, we're booked through the rest of the year, so we definitely know we have that space there at the Center for Community Health. And then two, we're less likely to get bumped out at that location, and we know we're going to have Wi-Fi there. Mm-hmm. So there's other considerations that we have to consider when looking at conference rooms.
Yeah. And Trudy's the one that finds us the space, so she knows all the details.
Yeah. Well, and also the guidance might change at some point where masks are no longer required, and then the opposite could happen where no matter where we are, going into winter with cold and flu season and everything else, and it might be, back to what we were doing, 6 months ago.
So, sure.
Currently we are booked in those rooms the rest of the year for the advisory board meeting. So we have a secure site, a secure space. We know that we have Wi-Fi available there, and the likelihood of us getting bumped out of those conference rooms are, little, unless public health has, a COVID emergency and then they need to use it. But otherwise, those are pretty reliable. Those conference rooms are pretty reliable, and the likelihood that we get two conference rooms, because we have A conference room and B conference room, and we're looking to get C to hopefully expand on the space, so we know at least it's a big space. At least if we have A and B, where you have space where you can sit apart and you're not all cluttered together. So we have to take those things into consideration also.
Yeah, truly.
Okay.
So hi Lori, what we're talking about is whether or not to continue. We can do an in-person meeting now. So Trish and Walt and I are at the county building. Because our conversation has been around, do we want to continue with a hybrid model? Do we want to go to a location where we don't have to wear masks if we're in the building? And so we'll continue to have that conversation, but kind of the consensus is now that we want to keep having a virtual opportunity for people and find a place where we don't have to wear masks if we're present physically. So that's the nutshell.
I would prefer to, I just think that I haven't been in a meeting in person with a lot of masks, and so that could be challenging from an auditory standpoint, mm-hmm. but I've been on Zoom for a year and a half now, and I'm about done. And it's obviously not my favorite. I've been trying to update and update and update. And so it would be nice at some point if we could, as I don't find masks terribly pleasant. We don't have to, if we're vaccinated inside university buildings, we don't have to wear them anymore. And I still do, just because, we have students and graduate students in the building, but I do think giving us an option to meet in person, like I almost drove down to the Center for Community Health tonight, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, let me check and see what I really need to do. So I would like to, because I've never met this board face-to-face, and that would be a very, very helpful experience for me to have. I mean, I know Lindy from another odd community organization. I think that if we could even maybe, for people who have serious underlying health conditions and they are really afraid of Delta, you know, if they want to continue to meet online, I think they should have that flexibility. I mean, I feel like the spirit and the ethos of being a disability policy board means that we can do accommodations and we can do them well. But I am, as a person who's fully vaccinated and I think in reasonably good health, but I'm not sure because I haven't been to the doctor in a year and a half, to have a face-to-face meeting would be very, very helpful for me. So that's my two cents. Again, I apologize. I was wrestling themes and I was victorious because I'm here, but I do prefer Zoom just as that bit of process. And for the community members joining us tonight, I am Laurie Drapella. I am a professor at WSU Vancouver and I study criminal justice, juvenile justice as it intersects understanding of disability.
All right, thank you. Any other thoughts on meetings moving forward before we travel through our agenda? Mary Dean, did you have something you wanted to add?
Not right now.
Okay. It looked like your thing was lighting up, like you were getting ready to say something. Okay.
I think I'm still playing with it a little bit to see what it did.
All right, Kristen, Job Foundation's project update.
So Kristen had a family emergency, so I'll be doing the Job Foundations. This is Trish. I'll be doing the Job Foundations update. I'll give you a little bit of an update, and then we'll see if she can come back at the next public meeting in September to give more of an update about as we move into the second year of Job Foundations. So y'all will remember that Job Foundations is a partnership between the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, Developmental Disabilities Administration, counties, and local school districts. Clark County raised our hand to be a part of this project and got all of the school districts in Clark County on board to be a part of the project as well. So we've been working with, as long as there's a transition age student in their school at the time or that fits the criteria. So we started with the second to the last year of eligibility at the school district. We have recruited so far 17 students in the first year, and that recruiting for the first year is closed. We had to stop at some point, and we thought the end of the school year probably was a good point to stop recruiting for the first year. So we have 17 students that we will continue working with in their last year of eligibility, as well as we will be recruiting additional students that are now moving into their second to the last year of eligibility with the school district. So we're talking, just to be clear, about, you know, age 20 and age 21 students, or as they're going into their 21st year and as they're going into their 20th year of life. We have the employment agencies that are part of the project have connected with these students. They have worked to observe them in their natural environment, which over the last year was mostly via virtual things like Zoom. The agencies also connected with the school districts to gather information. And so far we've received one of the reports. We expect that the rest of the reports will be finalized throughout the summer. And then those 17 students will then be moving into job development with those agencies looking at the goal of graduating with a job. Starting this project during a pandemic was a little challenging, but I think that having 17 students really is a rousing success. Number one, because whenever you start a new project, it's likely that it might start small and then it word spreads and then it will continue to grow. But especially during the pandemic, to have 17 students join in the project, I think is a great success. Kristen worked very hard to coordinate the project and did a great job of it. And we just will continue with the project. DDA anticipates that this will be added to their waiver at some point. And in the meantime, we're going to continue with this on a project basis. So the other kind of, I'll say, question mark that we currently have for the project is the additional year of eligibility that some students may be eligible for. So we'll be kind of continuing to work with our partners at the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction and Developmental Disabilities Administration and DVR as we kind of navigate through what that's going to look like for the people that we're supporting. So that's Job Foundations, and like I said, I'll have Kristen come back and give more of an update as we're heading into the second year in September. But are there any questions about the project?
I have a question, Trish.
Sure.
So those students who are doing the makeup years, are they going to qualify for this? I didn't quite understand.
Well, that's the question. So we don't know the answer to that or how that's going to play into this project. It's a question of will they have an extra year in the project then? Because typically it's a 2-year project. So we don't really know what that's going to look like as it relates to the Job Foundations project. I can't imagine that we're just going to tell people, well, even though you're still in school, we're not going to do anything with you. But that thing that we do with those students, if they do have that additional eligibility, is yet to be determined. So we'll have to kind of figure that out.
Well, and potentially we will have a second cohort of students with that extra year of eligibility too, because of this year. Not just the 2020 graduates,
yeah,
but 2021 as well.
Yeah, and Susan, maybe you know, what I'm hearing is that it has a potential for people to have multiple years of additional.
I haven't heard
depending
yet.
On, yeah, okay. So
this 20 to 21, that's the age, not the year.
No, the year, well, coincidentally, it's the year and the age.
It's the age of the student.
This is like an option for the transition program. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The students that are in that program that may have missed out on opportunity because of pandemic shutdown would have been the class of 2020 and, again, maybe this class of 2021. So they would get an extra year to try to recoup some of that.
Well, and just to add on to that, how is that going to marry with DDA? DDD's program, because they still can be eligible for basic plus waiver. They still can get adult services at 21, correct?
I believe so.
So how are those programs marry?
Well, one of the criteria, at least for our services, I don't know about DDA services, and Chris, I don't know if you have any insights that you would like to share, but for our services, for employment services for adults, it's at age 21 and after the student has graduated. So if they're still in school, then we wouldn't move them into adult services. But they could potentially still be part of this Job Foundations project where we are looking at employment for the students anyway.
Okay, well, we just want to be cognizant of creating a bow wave for the Basic Plus waiver. If we don't move kids at 21 into adult services, when we actually have additional adult services now, are we going to have enough adult services for all those guys next year as they all go into that adult service system? So just something to think about.
I think that's a great thing to be thinking about as we look at maybe legislative agendas and making sure that our legislators are aware of how DD services are being impacted in these different ways. Great point, Darla. Mary D., did you have something to say?
No, I just agree, because I think that the two systems have got to kind of talk to each other, because this is a whole new thing. So they've got to figure that out. You know, it could be a really good thing, and then it could also be a mess, you know, depending on people you talk to.
I do understand, though, that the potential for additional services is not automatic. So it's based on the need and discussion with the student and the team and the family. to figure out what makes sense for each student. So I know that it's not just that, you know, every student's going to have this, this.
The need.
Yeah. Okay. Lori, it looks like Lori had her head.
Yeah, I had just a quick question, and this is more of a federal funding question. But is it possible, or have you guys at the state or the counties heard anything about additional federal funds, you know, from DC to help students, you know, get back on track after they've had this, you know, most unusual year and a half? I know that there are pass-through dollars coming from the feds for, you know, things like unemployment assistance and other kinds of things, but have we heard anything from the feds about how they're going to help kids get back on track in terms of supplying additional dollars that could definitely be used to assist with programs like this? Because that would seem to be helpful and reasonable.
Well, one thing I know about is that there is an increased what's called FMAP, which is the federal Medicaid something something, and it is additional federal match on the state dollars. And DDA was kind of trying to figure out ways to use that money. And I think that legislature swooped in and said, no, we want to figure out how to use that money. So I think that we'll be hearing more about how that those funds are used next legislative session.
Do you have any idea what, I mean, because there's often a sunset on these kind of funds. Do you have any idea what that sunset might be? Are we up against a clock here? Is it possible we're going to leave money on the table and that would be a very, very bad thing?
That's true. I don't know. Darla, do you know if there's any timeline on that? I imagine that the legislature wouldn't have done that, but who knows if there was, you know, if they, I don't think that they want to leave money on the table either, but do you have
Yeah, but I was thinking about the feds, if they're, you know, if they're potentially going to assist with match dollars and things like that, they might put a sunset on it. That was really mm-hmm. more the scope of my question.
Yeah.
In terms of thinking about how federal fiscal assistance to the states, I mean, this would seem to be a really good use of that money, but I don't know what the feds would have earmarked it for.
Right. There is a sunset on it. I don't remember exactly what it is. Okay. And everybody's working hard for it. And there are also some dollars to help kids get caught up. I know that for certain ages, I don't know if that's across the board or not. But there's a lot of work being done on those, you know, with those school age kiddos to try to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, but the older kids seem to have it tougher, you know, in terms of having fewer resources and just not really a cognizance that, you know, everybody's behind. It's not just the little kids. It's like everybody's behind. So thank you for that update.
Yeah. My biggest concern is that if we leave it to families and so, which we have to leave it to families and individuals to choose whether or not to take that second year or not, are they going to be aware of how the different systems interplay? And are they and their teachers that are working with them going to have an understanding of how those things can impact one another and the potential effects of one decision versus another? I think if we're going to do that, we need to make some really good one pagers for educational purposes.
I agree.
That's an excellent point, Darla. That would be, there's a gal that's been emailing secondary teachers that works with DDA. Did you work with DDA? I can't remember her name now. I forwarded an email to you about her.
Yes.
And she's like a liaison type person that is every couple months I get an email from her. She's updating the schools on this training or there's this program. You might want to consider this for your students. And for the life of me, her name has just left my head. I did share her name and contact information with Trish, but that was like 3 months ago.
Wasn't it DVR? Was that Voc Rehab? The transition?
I can't remember.
Okay.
But I had a feeling that maybe she became connected to all this. Maybe through some Jobs Foundation thing or something. Yeah. But she would be the person that has all the contact information for the education side. Mm-hmm. And she's been emailing teachers.
Is her name Rachel Berg, by chance? Do you know, Susan?
Is it what?
Rachel Berg.
Rachel doesn't sound familiar, but that doesn't mean that that's not her. I'll troll through my email and see if I can figure it out. But she's been just an amazing, the sources and the resources that she was providing. Some of it's professional development stuff, some of it's information to pass on to students. She was promoting the family training series, and Trisha wasn't even sure who she was.
That's great. I'm glad it gets around.
Anyway, I'll see what I can find.
Is it Connie? That's Helen Christensen from DVR.
Maybe?
She used to transition, pre-employment transition consultant for this area.
Okay. And might be...
Search Connie.
A gal from DVR.
No, search.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing all kinds of searching today. Okay, well I'll see what I can do there. Is there any other stuff about John Foundations? Comments, questions? I think that's awesome that given all the challenges that it's been going so well. Our next agenda item is also Trish talking about the National Disability Employment Awareness Celebration.
Yes. And I did try to get some other speakers tonight so that it wasn't just me this whole time, but I know that I've got a number of things to talk to y'all about. So we have the National Disability Employment Awareness Month coming up in October. As you all know, we typically have done a big in-person event. There is a subcommittee of you all who have been busily chatting on email about what this year's celebration is going to look like. So thank you for those of you who have engaged in that. And if anybody else wants to get in on that planning, we are certainly happy to have you. Other board members are certainly welcome. So what it's looking like for this year as we're, you know, kind of moving out of pandemic, it's sounding like, committee is looking at doing another kind of virtual, but also having video of, people receiving their awards, announcements of, the awards, continuing to do the nominations, in hopes of next year having, an in-person event. I think that as we're looking at this, you know, October starting to be cold and flu season. And the guidelines, you know, what I was able to find don't exactly, you know, line, there's nothing really clear that like lines up with our kind of event. And so anyway, just wanted to give an update. That's kind of what the committee is thinking about doing one more year of a virtual event, but have, lots of videos and opportunities for engagement in that way. And then, you know, looking at moving forward, hopefully going back to doing an in-person event.
It's going to only be virtual. It's not going to be, I think several of us asked if it could be hybrid, but that's not working, is it?
Oh, well, if y'all want to do something hybrid, then we should be.
You gotta know by the 9th, she said, right?
By Friday.
Yeah.
If we want to keep the Heathman or not. So yeah, I mean that, if that committee still wants to talk about it and wants to think about having some of it be in person, then
I missed an email, but they asked for our opinion and I gave it. And this letter I just got here, it's Walt suggesting suggestions too, that I didn't hear. There's a meeting next week, but I haven't heard about that. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but Walt, you were talking too about a hybrid event, right?
Yeah. The reason why I presented that as an idea to stimulate some discussion about it, because right now there's an anxiety that I'm sensing on the part of our organizers that says, hey, you know, what do you guys want to do? And as I'm thinking about, I'm not a big mask kind of person. I have a difficult time hearing and communicating with masks. I understand all that. But I think that for a lot of people, the anxiety that would come about as a result of coming into a large social gathering like what we've had in the past may be a discouragement rather than an encouragement. So what my idea was real simply to identify slightly ahead of the event and videotape all of the winners one-on-one and then play their acceptance, quite possibly a little bit of a vignette that explains why they support employment for people with disabilities, some of the challenges, some of the benefits, and also give the actual employees some time to talk in a very controlled environment. It's like recorded in front of a live audience type of thing.
Yeah.
Is that then you can cut it down and you can make it very succinct and at the same time go a step further than, oh, thank you for the award type of approach. And at the same time, also, we have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't just continue to say, well, we'll wait until next week. We really have to make a decision about the Heathman. And so that's what that email was all about. I know that we're very busy, but at the same time, I think that our folks need some time to start planning and stuff. So that's what I'm bringing forth to the committee right now, to the board, is to adopt a hybrid model, one that doesn't necessarily involve the Heathman, but it also means that we would really have to do a better job of trying to do a lot of outreach with regards to people participating online or streaming. You know, I think the first thing that came to my mind was, have any of you participated in an Oscar ceremony gathering where some very close friends gather together and they watch the event as a group and there's a camaraderie about that? I think that would be kind of fun, especially for some of our group homes, for some of our organizations, that the people feel comfortable enough around those folks that they could then watch this event that we're staging. So that's my thought process, and I'll shut up.
Well, yeah, no, I think I voted for a hybrid as well. You know, we can do everything virtual in terms of we can do all those things you suggest, everything, but then you can show it on the screen, and if the person's there, you can stand up and we can applaud that person too. If people don't want to come, they don't have to come. But if they want to come, it's an opportunity for them to come. Because some people are going to say, I mean, I just want to go and see people again. And some people are going to be wary. And some will wear masks and some won't. And we're not going to shame anybody for doing whatever they choose. Mm-hmm. But have that choice for, because I think a lot of people are going to want to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the thing, you know, I'm dealing with this in the group I'm with now. You lose habits very quickly. And if we don't continue to have some kind of thing, you know, stay at the Heathman, even in a smaller capacity or something, if we don't keep this going, pretty soon we're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, maybe not, but I think a lot of people are just dying to get together again. And I think we should have that opportunity, as you say, Walt, you know, to watch Euro 21 in a sports bar.
I mean, as of right now, I don't know that there are any restrictions that would restrict us from doing that. You know, as I was looking through the, you know, guidelines right now, you know, it's like they're talking about events of over 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Like that's the threshold, you know? So our little event at the Heathman, you know, if we did want to have an in-person option, you know, that could be entirely possible.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if they're worried, and they should be, then they're not going to come. Mm-hmm. But people who are worried and are vaccinated and that, all that, they should be able to come if they want to, I think. And I think we should keep that place and keep that option. That's all I think. It's just, it's a community thing. I'm sorry, it's a lot nicer if the guy decides to come and he sees all of us clapping than if he sees us on the screen going like this. Those companies that do so much for our disabled people and those employees that have worked for so long, it's nice for them to have, I think, a real audience, even if it's going to be a diminished one and enhanced by video. But I think it's nice to have a real audience. We should give them that option if they want it. That's just my opinion. So I would say keep the Heathman, maybe get a smaller room. But keep that Heathman in there too, otherwise they'll fill it with somebody else. That plug every year, right? Now they ask us, we don't have to ask them, they ask us, that's gonna stop.
Yeah. What do some other people think that we should do? Because we are coming up on 48 hours, we probably should be telling the Heathman either yay or nay. So,
I see what you're talking about, but I also think it's one of those things where you can have virtual as well as in person, but you have to probably, I don't know, limit how you would do that. But I think that, once again, you know, because we've now experienced virtual, that would include, let more people be sort of participating, but from home. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
It'll all be even in the room. There'll be the video that everyone online sees, but there'll also be people there. It's a hybrid. It's a both and, not in either or.
Right.
I think it's a great idea to have viewing parties. As long as we help people understand how to set that up and do it, you know, I mean, I could see where, you know, employees from one organization who are working together all the time anyway would like to get together and have their own little party and celebrate employment and celebrate with everyone else. And you'd have pods of viewing parties that could be on a big screen up front. And that's how we've done multiple conferences throughout this last year that I've participated in. It works great because people can be in person there or in another location, and they still can all interact with each other. And I think it's a great way for people to be able to have lots of choice about what they do with that celebration if they want to celebrate. I'm all for choice, all kinds of choice.
If it's hybrid,
I think there's just a lot of opportunity now that we never thought about before, and I think we should, you know, do it.
Yeah. Mona, if it's hybrid, all you have to have is one tech-savvy person and so we can give that option. We're not taking away that option by having people who also want to come together with...
This is what comes to mind for me, is that the people that are being honored, I mean, wouldn't it be great if they could all be with the people where they work, and rather than having to have them come, but there could be other people that are in the room, you know, to also honor them as well. But it may generate more support for people working as well when they see that. And does that make sense?
It might. I think people could. I think the nominees and the businesses should be able to choose for themselves. How are we going to participate?
Right.
Are we going to take everyone to celebrate this nominee at Heathman or wherever we're going?
Yeah.
Or are we going to create our own party wherever on site at their business and promote their business in that way and participate with those at the Heathman virtually? I think there's lots of very creative things that could happen that would be and allow folks the choice.
Yeah.
We want to promote our business by being at our business and showing all the support this employee has, or do we want to everybody come in mass and do it and show up in person? I think, you know, those who want to be recruiting employees might want to come in person. Maybe they'll do both. Maybe they'll send some to the in-person group and some at the party, and they'll just
work the whole system as both directions. Mm-hmm. There's an awful lot of job seekers as well as people are trying to fill positions that attend that to look for a potential good fit. So I think it could be very cool.
Mm-hmm. I second that idea.
All right.
Okay.
So go with the Ethan and Debbie.
Yeah.
So stay with the Ethan and then kind of spin it as come if you would like, organize your own
watch party.
Include more people because, like you say, you can have some that are at the Heathman, but then they can also celebrate it on video at their work, you know?
And it would be kind of fun if we could, I don't know if we could figure it out, but if we could have a way to where we had some video of all the watch parties that were right. popping up.
That would be really neat. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
So, Trish, are you going to...
You can do that easily.
Are you going to be able to share that with Emily and maybe relieve a little bit of her anxiety about what direction we're going to go into?
Yeah, well, it sounds like we're definitely going to keep the Heathman, and I'm just going to have her listen to this discussion. So she can, because this is being recorded, so yeah. I think this will be really enlightening for her as well. So, and I did invite her to be here tonight. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to attend. She had something else that she had to attend to tonight. So, but I'll definitely give her the recording. We've been able to get these posted, the day after the meeting. So, you know, she can access that and listen to the discussion and proceed.
It does really open up a lot more opportunity, I think, for more people in the, that hire people to, be included.
Agree.
Yeah. Me, I'm concerned, as Moni is, about including people, but I'm also afraid of isolating people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise you get so used to being isolated that you don't make efforts to come together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the balance between those two.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay, Mona.
Do you have to be an advisory board member to help with the planning?
It's typically been the board's event that they host. And so, board? Do you want
to? Okay, never mind. I mean, I'm willing to help if you need it.
Look at C.
Whatever.
Look at C.
Well, I've never turned down free labor.
Okay.
Are you volunteering for C? That's what I'm saying. Oh, you don't have the agenda in front of you. The agenda is we need some new board members. Are you volunteering, Mona? Is that?
Mona, you've segued us into our next topic.
We're not there yet.
Chris has a good question. Are we still going to keep the date that we originally came up with? I think it was October the 6th or
probably
something like that. Does anybody recall?
Usually it's the first Wednesday in October.
What was the date for the evening? Tell us what day it was.
And so that would be the 6th. October 6th is that first Wednesday in October. And so I'd have to look back at Emily's email to see what...
Okay.
I think that's what it was, is that we had had it reserved for the first Wednesday of the month. I think that's what we try to do.
Okay. Thank you.
So it sounds like the board is willing to have some help, Mona. So yes, if you want to help, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm happy to.
Okay.
And I have a picket fence that needs to be...
Planning. Event planning is what I did in my former position. So event planning is my jam. So.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Okay. And so our next agenda item is Trish is going to tell us about advisory board member recruitment, as we have experienced yet one more transition of one of our board members.
Yes. Keisha Weathers moved to Texas to be closer to family. She had a family member in need, so she is no longer on the advisory board. And so we're going to be opening up a recruitment for one person. And the last couple of times that we've had new board members or that we've been recruiting, I've asked if there are advisory board members that would like to assist with that recruitment. That typically involves me talking with you and emailing with you, as well as setting aside some time to have interviews with our potential candidates. So just looking to see if there's advisory board members that would be willing to help with that.
I would.
Who said that?
Merity.
Merity. Okay. Thank you, Merity.
And I see some hands raised, Lindsay, as well.
And Lori. Okay, great.
And Walt, did you?
I think that I'll stand back this time because there is some things I do need to. We're right in the middle of Little League All-Stars, and I have grandsons in both leagues, and so it would be helpful if I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We can.
And I can help too, Trish, if you need me.
Okay, great.
It's a much better group.
Okay, thanks, Susan.
Yeah, my time is pretty flexible right now.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you very much for volunteering. And Darla, are you still with us? We have legislative update.
What about
D? Okay. Oh, sorry. Whoops, sorry, not yet.
I have one more.
Comprehensive plan input from Trish. Then we'll get the legislative update. Oh, my goodness.
So I just wanted to give an update on this. We have been doing outreach. The board had mentioned as part of the planning for our comprehensive plan update that in addition to our survey, which we ended up receiving 168 responses to the DDAB comp plan survey, which I think is very good response rate, especially considering other conversations that I've had with groups that have just really had a hard time getting any kind of response to surveys and things over the last year. So I think we've got a lot of great information that we will be going through and incorporating into the plan. But as part of that input process, the board had wanted to talk with people directly. So we've been doing that outreach through our contractors and partners to find out if there are people that want to speak with us. I did put out that we were particularly interested in the voices of people that might have historically been underrepresented, including Black, Indigenous, people of color, people from LGBTQ community. That's not the only people that could participate, but I did emphasize that. So we have a handful of people. We've got four, I think we've got one more coming in, five. So those of you that volunteered to be a part of that, Trudy has already begun contacting you. So just look for more communication from her as she's pulling those schedules together. And we should be interviewing people. Well, it could be as early as Friday. I think
it
Walt.
Is. She Walt, sent out an email already.
Yeah. So Walt, I think you said that you're available for that. So if we get one of the participants that wants to meet with us on Friday, one or potentially two, then we're going to start. And then I would anticipate that those would go through July and perhaps into August as well, as we're doing the scheduling. So just stay tuned for more on that.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember which time you're available? Is it the 2 to 3, 3 to 4, or 4 to 5?
Any one of those three, as long as I know, 24 hours ahead of time. I don't have anything planned for that 3-hour block outside maybe an occasional nap, Wheel of Fortune.
That's not until 7.
I have fun with
you. Okay, thank you.
That would work, Trudy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
while we're here, is anybody else available on Friday? I'm not. I got my brother-in-law's coming to town Friday afternoon.
Well, and we had anticipated that, I think that we had talked about doing one advisory board member and one staff, just to not make it feel like a big intimidating kind of a thing. So if Walt can do, if we get some of those interviews scheduled for Friday, then we'll go ahead with Walt, and then others will have an opportunity as others.
Oh, other... so Walt, you're going to do all 3 hours on Friday?
Well, we don't know if those... Actually, we don't have that confirmed with the people yet.
Oh, gotcha.
So I think Trudy was just trying to get our availability, and then she's going to be calling around to see if there's a person that can join us.
And that's,
Walt, would you be willing? I'm sorry. Well,
is it a virtual meeting, or are you talking about face to face?
Virtual.
Yeah.
Okay. That way I don't have to put on pants. Okay.
Well, would you be available if we need for you to do two?
Yes.
That day? Like, and it would be during that time frame, the 2 to 5, you'd be able to do two. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just set aside 2 to 5 for it. And then after 5 is cocktail hour, so.
This is being recorded, Walt.
Those interviews would probably go better.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, really. No kidding. Better insight.
Yeah.
To substance abuse, yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have a desire to try to hop into one of those interviews on Friday if Walt needs to take a nap? Mary Dee or Lori or Lindy?
It looks like Lindy has her hand up.
Yeah.
What?
Do you have your hand up?
Oh, I just said that I would be interested, in the recruitment if I was needed for anything. But I don't know. I think you all have it covered, and I am working now, so... Best of luck to everybody.
Great.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Okay. So on to our next agenda item, the legislative update, which will be brought to you by Darla.
Okay. So it's actually going to be a relatively short update since legislature's not in session. We are doing what's called the North Star. We're working on a... hopefully what will be an omnibus bill that will be introduced next legislative session. There is approximately, I don't know the exact number. I want to say between 80 and 120 people that are broke down into different categories, whether that's day services or housing or medical or transportation or civil rights. Really looking at all the needs for individuals who experience intellectual and developmental disabilities. And the goal is to roll all of that together to come out with the top priorities, put that together in one bill and go to the legislature and say, okay, we're tired of being historically underfunded. This is what we need to make our services and our systems functional across the state. Mona, did you have anything? I know you're involved in some of that. Anything you want to add to that?
No. The sheer number of people involved in the process boggles my mind.
Yes, it's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is that a good way or an overwhelming way?
What?
I mean, boggles your mind in a good way or a kind of questioning way?
It's great to see so many people so interested. It's like herding cats to actually make progress and narrow down all of the priorities that all those 130 people think are important. And they all have their own list, and then when you put all those lists together,
They all have different levels of understanding of the service system and what needs to happen and what can be done on a state level versus a federal level. And so lots and lots of conversations.
Lots and lots of education, and that's all good. So that's why it's good. Wow. That's about all I have to say.
Exactly. And so if anybody wants to be involved in herding cats, you know, everybody's welcome to participate and to learn. And I'm excited to see what comes out of it. I think, like I said, lots of education is going on and more people involved in this advocacy work than I've seen in my 30 years of involvement. So that's very exciting. And then on a federal level, I wanted to bring to your attention, Congress has introduced the Better Care, Better Jobs Act. It's part of the COVID, I'm going to read this so I don't screw it up. It's part of the COVID-19 economic recovery. This bill would provide historic funding amounts for Medicaid homes and community-based services. That's the HCBS. By funding services for those on the waiting list, raising wages for direct care workforce, and creating a national paid leave program for family caregivers, and update the Supplemental Security Income Program, which has not been updated since 1984. Wow. So we're also doing a lot of work around the SSI program to try and get some of those marriage, I'm not even going to get the right language. So there's some marriage inequities if you get married, how it impacts your SSI. And so we're working on a federal level to try and change some of those marriage inequities as well.
I know that the self-advocates are talking about it as a marriage penalty.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, right? Yeah. Because the benefits are reduced when you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. even though Darla, we have these virtual meetings, you're still going to send us papers with all the little smiley faces and stuff like that, right?
Of course. And legislative session will be held the third week in January. Okay. Last year it was online, so everybody could participate. We're doing district level coffees that will be held the first 2 weeks in November. So we will be hitting you up for each of your own legislative districts if you want to participate and meet one-on-one with those legislators. Lori, did you have a question?
No, but I'll follow up with you because I'd like to be one of the people meeting with district representatives on these issues.
Excellent. Yeah. So that, and then with the self-advocacy group that we've got going, I'm really excited about the work that will be done this next year. Mm-hmm.
Darla, am I being invited to as a guest to the self-advocacy workshop group?
So I think Hattie is the one that will be in touch with you, and I think that you are on her very short list of people that she wants to definitely, you and Alex, Seth, there's a few that she wants to actually try to pull in to help organize some of those things.
All right. Sweet.
Okay. The other thing I want to share, which really isn't legislative, but PEACE has been hosting a state-level advanced leadership training for the last year, and our advocates from across the state, there's 13 of them, and they are amazing. I've been doing leadership development now since, well, I participated in it in the mid-90s, and I've been facilitating it in Clark County since 2000, and but this is one of the first times that we've done a state-level advanced leadership. These guys are phenomenal. So I keep mixing them up and putting them each month into different learning teams. And I'm like, okay, go study this. And they have to come back. They're studying things across the nation, across the world, coming back, doing presentations to the rest of their team members. So they're teaching one at, you know, each other. We've got some state-level participation from our Special Olympics groups. And it's just an amazing group. They're actually going to be graduating this weekend and starting some really incredible internship projects. A couple of them are working on federal internship projects. So I just wanted to take this moment to say what an incredible group of advocates they are. And it's been really awesome to be able to do this state-level advanced leadership because it's through Zoom. So, really incredible.
I think they have an awesome leader in Darla as well. So.
Well, thank you, Ted. Actually, Darcy in Spokane is the person that we've hired to facilitate this. My job is to encourage Darcy. They do have an incredible leader in Darcy. So she's amazing. So thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Darla. Is there anything else for the good of the order? Any new business before adjournment? Y'all froze.
I think you're still there. Mona, did you have something?
Nope, I was just waving goodbye.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to adjourn, right?
This meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you all for your participation. Be safe, be healthy. Yeah.
And come to the real one.